open my ears that I may hear. Voices of truth thou sendest clear. God wants us to be one of those voices that speaks his word. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Isn't that what we should pray when we share the gospel? God, would you clear everything so that the false things that people have believed all of their life will fall away? Tonight we're going to be talking about aliens. Now, that'll be exciting, right? We'll talk about aliens as we open up the Word of God, but we want unsaved people to let all the false things disappear as they hear the voices of truth, God's Word. Then it goes on, silently now I wait for thee, ready my God thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. We need to pray that as we share the gospel. God, would you open their ears to hear the truth and to reject everything that is false that is presented to them. Oh, what a truth. Oh, that we would make sharing the gospel a priority. Christ is the only one who can change Jerusalem Baptist Church. I'm not just talking about numbers. Now, we want to see, how many of you want to see more people come to church? Man, I'm excited about that. But man, I want to see somebody get saved this year. Will we pray, God, would you use me to lead someone to you as Savior this year? Will we pray as a church, God, would you help us as a church to see someone get saved and grow in you? And thus you will be glorified. Because again, one of the Baptist distinctives as an autonomous church, yes, we own our property and some of those other things, but we perpetuate, don't we? We need to share the truth of the gospel. Christ changes lives. Has he changed yours? Let's let him change other people's as well. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, if you will. Colossians chapter 1. As I shared with you a minute ago, we will be talking about aliens. Now, Alexi, it's not what you're thinking. But we will be talking about aliens because if you're saved, you and I were an alien. Not from outer space with weird things coming out of the head and all this other kind of crazy stuff that people think. But the Bible talks about aliens. Now, at least for younger generations, when we say the word alien, you know what comes to mind. E.T., was he an alien? Right? Okay. So E.T. with his finger sticking out or whatever he did all those years ago. And we think of aliens. But another thing that we think about when we think of aliens is an illegal alien. Okay, what is an illegal alien? Yeah, people who are in our country illegally. Alien. They don't belong here. Does that mean we hate them? Should we hate illegal aliens here in America?
No.
We shouldn't. As much as they're wrong, we should show them God's love. Now, are there consequences for being wrong? There are. We all know that. And so I believe as much as we need to love them, there still are consequences and things that need to happen. But tonight we're not going to talk about someone who's illegally in a country or someone from outer space. But in Colossians, my bookmarker was in 1 Corinthians from this morning. In Colossians chapter 1, we see the reality that you and I were once aliens or alienated. Colossians 1 verse 21. And you that were sometime what? Alienated. Big word there again. We'll talk about that in a minute. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Enemies in your what? Mind. Now that is a different Greek word. This morning we are in 1 Corinthians and we looked at the mind. This is a different Greek word that's used for mind. But again, it's the same thing, our brain. Okay? Our very brain, the natural-minded man. Here he says, you that were once that natural-minded state, you're saved, you're no longer there. He says, yet now hath he reconciled. As you and I look through this passage of Scripture tonight from verses 21, I believe through about 25, I want us to walk away with the truth that I must praise God for a changed life. I must praise God for a changed life. The reality is I should praise God for whose changed life? My own. Man, shouldn't I? There is so much changed about my life. Now, maybe you're like me and you got saved at 4.5 years old. Is there still change in my life? You better believe it. We've seen that with some of our kids who got saved at young ages. Man, it was like, whoa, there was a difference. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came to live within. And there's changed life. As we live through the adult lives as a saved individual, man, there's changed lives. Maybe you look back at your life and you say, man, I was really changed. Praise God. I can praise God for changed lives, mine and for others, as we see here in this passage. But the first thing as we think about praising God for a changed life, I can praise God for reconciliation. Reconciliation. Being reconciled. Webster's 1828 dictionary says, to conciliate anew, or to make it anew, to call back into union and friendship. You ever had a friend who, man, you fought? You know, girls can fight with their friends and they're separated, maybe forever. Guys can beat each other up and get up and shake hands and go on and be friends, right? Man, I've heard so many stories of guys doing that. Well, the reality is when God reconciles us, it's because we were enemies. In fact, doesn't this talk about that? And you that were sometime alienated and what? Enemies. Being reconciled to God. I can praise God for reconciliation because alienation was in my past. It was in my past. You know, sometimes for those of us who've been saved for a long time, we just think, our minds are just, we've got all the saved jargon, the Christian jargon in our mind. You know what I'm talking about, all those cliches we know and the things we say. And those of you who grew up going to church, you got it. And yet the reality is, I need to stop and remember, I was just as much alienated from Christ as the next guy. I was just as much alienated from Christ as the drunkard on Skid Row. Because I was a sinner, still am, but I am now a reconciled sinner. I can praise God for reconciliation because alienation was in my past. It was a past condition. This word alienated means estranged or a non-participant. Now, not strange, but to be estranged, have a rough relationship. You don't belong there. We talked about illegal aliens. What does that mean? They don't belong here. Some of them, we often hear illegal aliens from which country? Here in America, we often hear Mexico. So we think of Mexican illegal aliens. And some who commit crimes and are released back onto our streets to commit more crimes and things that sometimes we just like, that doesn't even make sense. But the reality is, you and I were aliens. We didn't belong in the family of God. In fact, it's not by anything I've done that I belong there. In our previous ministry, we had a gentleman who was born in Scotland. He moved to England, and he served as a missionary in India. While he was in India, he met a lady from Muskegon, and he married her. When they retired from their mission in India, they moved to Muskegon, and we had the privilege of knowing him. Whoa, he had a history of where he'd been in the world. Now, he showed me his green card. Yes, he was an alien. He wasn't an illegal alien. He wasn't born here. He wasn't part of it. He didn't have all of the rights we had. He wasn't a citizen, but he had his green card. The reality is you and I aren't just okay in God's family. We've been reconciled with God. Alienation was my past. Reconciliation is my current condition in Christ. What a blessing to be reconciled with God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We see both this alienation and this reconciliation in this passage. Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 12. Ephesians 2, verse 12. I want to point out, before we get there, it's just some of the context, though. Verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Man, we know that passage, and salvation is only by grace in the faith in Christ. We're saved unto good works, not by our good works. Verse 10 says we're saved unto good works, though. Verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being what? Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Okay, so there were some aliens who weren't Jewish. Here we're talking being aliens without Christ. We didn't belong in God's family. And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. As an alien, I was hopeless. But praise God, alienation was my past condition. It is no longer what I am. I'm saved. I've been reconciled to God. But then go down to verse number 16. Verse 16. And that he might what? Reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Remember back in Colossians 1, we were the enemies? Well, here this enmity has been erased through the blood of Jesus. I've been reconciled. I can praise God because reconciliation is real in my life. I have been reconciled or brought into friendship with God when I was an enemy of Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God, what? Commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he died for me while I was a sinner. I'm thankful that alienation was in my past for a couple reasons. One, I can remember. I do. I was saved at 4.5. I do have some memories before I got saved. Some small things. But I'm thankful that I can share with other people, man, before I was a sinner, before I was saved, I was a sinner on my way to hell too. Alienation was in my past. But I'm also thankful that alienation was past tense in my life. I am no more an alien. I have been reconciled to God because of Jesus Christ. I asked you earlier, and I know I wouldn't normally do that in a service, especially if I wonder, and maybe you're here and you really don't know Christ as Savior. Man, today is the day to be reconciled with Christ. But a while ago, I asked you, how many of you have been saved here? Right? Man, praise God. I can praise God this week because I have been reconciled. Sometimes we struggle to praise God. What do I have to praise God for? You ever think that about your life? Man, so much is going on. There's nothing to praise God for. Man, sometimes I get caught up in my mind and emotions and what is there to be thankful for? I've been reconciled. Praise God. One truth this passage speaks of in Colossians 1. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Yes, I can praise God for reconciliation, but not just for reconciliation. I can praise God for new life. I can praise God for new life. We see that here in verse 22. And in order to have new life, it first required death on a couple different levels. Back in the garden, we've been studying this on Wednesday evenings, Adam and Eve chose to sin. It was a choice they made. And God said, the day you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely what? Die. In order for them to experience new life, first they had to die. Was it God's desire for them to sin? Be very careful how you answer this. No. Man, we know that before the foundation of the world, Christ was slain. Or man, it was just as good as it had happened. It was a promise guaranteed. But it was never God's will that we sin. Some people say, well, God created sin so that we need a Savior. No, God didn't create sin. God did not want us to sin. But in order for Adam and Eve to be reconciled to God, there had to be something that separated them from God. And their sin did that. We think about our reconciliation and praise God for it. And as I praise God for my new life, I'm reminded that someone had to die. Yes, I died in my sins. I was dead in my sins. Throughout the New Testament, Paul says, and you hath he quickened that were dead in your trespasses and sins. But man, here in verse 22, I don't just think about my own past death, spiritual death, but I think of the death of Christ and the body of his flesh through death. See, the church at Colossae, remember that's what city we're looking at, this church at Colossae had a number of people who were teaching false doctrines. Remember we sang, open my ears and that everything false will disappear when I hear the truth of your word. There was some false doctrine or teaching going around that Christ didn't really come in the flesh. Was Jesus 100% God? So how could he have come in the flesh then? It couldn't have happened. There were false ideas going around with that. Well, did Jesus, he was 100% God, but was he 100% man? Yes, he was. The Bible makes that clear. So there were people who were going around teaching Jesus didn't really come in the flesh. Jesus didn't really die in the flesh. These are just things that we hear and see and have said, but it wasn't real in the flesh. Look at how many times that Paul emphasizes that in this verse. In the what? Body of his flesh through death. Yes, death can be a spiritual term, but death is a physical term that every one of them could understand because they had been touched by death. Someone close to them. Someone in their area. We all know what death is. So physically, we see that there was death. His death. Jesus Christ died. Praise God for new life, but it did require Jesus' death. Romans 4, in fact, many passages in Romans, we see that Jesus did die and he rose again. And that's what made the difference. Romans 4, 23 and 24. Paul saying this was a true historic event. It wasn't just something that we believe, but Jesus came in his flesh and died in his flesh. Does that really matter? Does it matter if Jesus died in his flesh or if we just kind of say he died? Sure does make a difference. The Bible is very plain. We want to understand Scripture and the truth of the Word of God. Paul says this is a historic fact. Jesus died and rose again. It was really death. They sealed him off in a grave. Some people say Jesus just swooned. There's some people call it the swoon theory. He just kind of passed out while he was hanging on the cross. And so then they put him in a grave and he came back. And he just kind of came back from his unconscious state. No, I mean, there's so many arguments against that and why we could look even from biblical fact in the scriptures of why that couldn't have happened. But Jesus really did die in his flesh. That's hard to completely understand. 100% God, but 100% man. But he 100% died in the body of his flesh in death, Paul says here in this verse. He's telling this church at Colossae, don't believe these false doctrines that people are telling you. Jesus died for you. Praise God for that new life. Praise God there is life found in Jesus. But it wasn't just that there was death. But this death resulted in life and the body of his flesh through death to present who? You, me, individually, not just as a group, but you, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in whose sight? His sight. It's about him. My life is all about him. As I share the gospel with people, it's not, oh, I got to share it with another person today. Check. Another person. Check. And man, we should praise God when we get to share the gospel. That should thrill you. When I was in Mug and Bops the other night, I don't know, it was 1:30 or 2. You say, what were you doing at that time? I don't even remember. But as I was over there sharing the gospel, I wasn't planning on being there that long. I think I was filling up with gas and getting some gasoline in the vehicle. And I wasn't planning on being there that long. But you know what I felt when I left? Why, Ken? I got to share about Jesus Christ, my Savior. Man, that's exciting. Jesus really died for me. It did require his death, but it resulted in my life. You hath he reconciled. What a great gift. Praise God for new life. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from what? Death unto life. Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Again, the salvation, and we've gone through this passage of Scripture. But the reality is we have passed from death to life. praise God for new life in Christ. Maybe you're familiar with that song, New Life in Christ, Abundant and Free. I mean, go, wow, what a joy! I can praise God for new life in me. Required his death, but it resulted in my life. So again, from this passage, praise God for being reconciled. Praise God for new life. Praise God for stability. Stability. How many of you have ever sat in a chair that wasn't stable? You know what I'm talking about, right? Man, it's kind of rocking, and it wasn't a rocking chair on purpose, right? Or maybe you sat in a chair that was a rocking chair and you didn't realize it, and all of a sudden you thought you were going backwards. Or maybe you sat on something and it's like, man, that just, I don't know if I can balance even on that. A pogo stick. How many of you like pogo sticks, right? Those are kind of cool. How many jumps can you get without falling off? And some people get real high. Man, they can travel on a pogo stick, and those are pretty exciting. You and I can have stability in life. We can be on that pogo stick and have upright condition. Isn't that what we learned when we learned to ride a bike? How many of you are thankful you learned to ride a bike? Now, some of you say, well, I haven't ridden one in 30 years. But man, I love my bicycle. I'm thankful for it. And in order to ride that, I want it to be stable. Sometimes on the back of my bike, I'll have one of the kids with what we call the tag-along, and it's a one-wheeled contraption that hooks up to under the bike seat on mine, and it kind of makes it a tandem bike. But if you don't do it right, it's not stable. And man, I remember some of the kids getting on that when it wasn't stable. Dad! And you know what I was feeling? I know! When it comes to the Christian life, we don't have to feel that way. I can praise God for stability in Him. Verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, it sure is good. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. He's not saying you have to do all these things to keep your salvation. He's saying, man, you've got this grounded and settled. Doesn't that kind of sound like Colossians 2, verse 6? As ye've therefore received, let's say it, come on. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. The next verse goes on and says, grounded or rooted and established in Him. Wow, we can have that settled, grounded feeling in Him. Praise God for stability. Stability is for who? Is it for Christ? Well, yes, He's stable, but is the stability He gives for Himself? It's for me. He says in verse 23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Each individual, that settled feeling, that stability is for me. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. Sometimes we say, well, man, we don't want to hold to all traditions. How many of you love traditions? Some things, right? What is that? My mind just hit some old Jewish movie, Fiddler on the Roof, right? Okay, Alexi, you know what I'm talking about. Man, and there's a song in there, what? Tradition, right? And man, it's all about tradition. Well, as a church, we don't want to do everything based on tradition, just because we've always done it. Sometimes we say the Pharisees were that way in the New Testament. They did it because they were told to do it, because they were told to do it, because that's just what we do. And here at Jeruel Baptist Church, we don't want to do stuff because that's just what we always do. But there is a point of tradition. Traditions that are rooted in settled stability in the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians, you probably beat me there already. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see the reality and the importance of tradition. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand what? Fast. Firm stability, stableness. Stand fast. And hold the what? Say that one more time. Traditions. He's telling them, hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish, settled in Him, you in every good word and work. Wow. Tradition. I remember as a college student battling through some things. In fact, I did. I think really the last time I battled with doubting my salvation was in college. But another thing that I battled with was Bible translation. I grew up going to a church who always preached and taught from the King James Version. So that's what I did. I didn't think much about it. Well, when I got into college setting, that was our pulpit standard and our classroom standard in most classes, and that's just where we were. But I had some people, some peers. They weren't even really friends, but I don't know. Is this where I'm going to really be? I had to study that issue out for myself. I had gotten beyond the point where, well, Mom and Dad use that and believe that, and that's just where I'm going to do the rest of my life. We can't do stuff simply based on tradition. Not based on tradition, but Paul said not to run away from these tradition. A lot of people, at least in my generation and younger, they like to take the things that we've been taught by our parents and previous generations and throw them away and then study what we believe. The reality is I can't jump ship before I know it's not true. And so as I studied that, I didn't jump ship. I studied, okay, so why will I use, if I'm going to use the King James Version, this translation of the Bible, why will I? I wasn't going to jump ship based on just peers. And it doesn't matter whether it's that or whether it's apologetics. Alexi and I have talked some about that, and there's so many different people that teach this is why you believe what you believe, or this is why you should believe, or this is what you should believe. Well, what does the Word of God say? This morning we referenced a man, Stephen Hawking. Sad situation. But he wanted so many people to believe like he did, and he had a huge place of influence. Well, does that mean because someone smarter than me comes along and says something that I jump ship from tradition just to join that ship? Paul talks about that, not being moved with every wind of doctrine that comes about, like a tumbleweed. I'm settled in life, in the Word of God. And kids, teens, I want to challenge you. You will face pressure to just change from what you believed. And it might be in this area or that area or the other area. Why won't you do that? Why won't you have certain relationships outside of marriage? Come on. Why won't you drink that? Why won't you smoke that? Come on. You and I can have stability in Christ, not based on our peers and what they say, but the Word of God. Not basing life on, well, my mom always said, or my dad said, or pastor says, or our church says. We don't want to base our life on tradition. But as we look at tradition, why do we do what we do? It's the Word of God. Why is it that in our auditorium Sunday school class, we're going through the Baptist distinctives? Because I want us as a church family to be confident why we are a Baptist church. There's reasons. We want to know them and be confident of them according to the Word of God. And so here, Paul reminds this church at Colossians, you have stability in Christ. Remember all those people teaching those false doctrines of Christ not really coming in the flesh and dying in the flesh? He said, you have stability because of Christ. You have that new life, but you have stability. It's for you. It's for every person. He then goes on in the last part of that verse and said that he preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. It's for every person under heaven. How many people do we have a responsibility to preach the gospel to? Everybody. And in order to do that, that requires confrontation. I don't like being confronted, but I really don't like confronting. Man, that's no fun to go up to someone and tell them what's wrong. Right? I mean, goofy little thing. We think about someone who has a spice in their tooth. Now, I'll probably have a spice in my tooth and a bunch of you will come up afterwards and say, hey, Pastor, do you know you have a spice in your tooth? But how many of us feel awkward even telling someone close to, hey, do you know you got a spice in your tooth? Anybody else? Okay, man, that's sometimes awkward. Well, then go from that to sharing the gospel. But this stability is for them too. They can have this stability, and it does require confrontation because they need to know that they can be reconciled to Christ because they're aliens, just like I was an alien. That they can have that new life, just like I have that new life, because it's found in Christ, and that's stability for life. That's a blessing. Praise God for stability. And praise God for fellow believers. So many other people we can praise God for. Paul, one of them, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. He's talking about himself, but he's talking about the church. Praise God for fellow believers. I'm thankful for you. Isn't it a blessing to go to what we call going to church? We are the church. If we're saved individuals, we are the church. It's not this building. It's not this auditorium. But we often reference that. I'm thankful when I come to church and see you. Don't come to church so I can be thankful for you. But aren't you thankful when you go to church and see people? And sometimes you don't see someone and, man, I wonder how they're doing. You ever ask someone? You looked around this morning and saw someone who wasn't here that maybe they should have been. Why weren't they? Was there sickness? Was there something outside gone on? Did you reach out to them? Hey, just want to let you know I missed you this morning. Want to let you know I'm praying for you. Hope everything's going okay. But sometimes that's awkward too. But we love them. Paul says, be thankful for fellow believers. I love you. I'm thankful. He says this truth. It's the testimony of personal godliness. Paul lived it out, which I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. He suffered. He went through a lot of suffering. He had a godly testimony through suffering. I don't like suffering. But man, I'm thankful to watch some of you who are going through some suffering, and you have a godly testimony. You strengthen my faith. Be thankful for fellow believers. The testimony of godliness. Philippians 1, chapter 1, verses 12, 16, 19, really throughout the whole book, we see the reality of Paul's sufferings, and yet he rejoiced in them. And he was thankful because it strengthened other believers. Let's rejoice when we see other believers. Praise God for giving us others that we're not alone. Elijah felt like he was alone, but later found out that there were many who hadn't turned, bowed their knee, as it's put. Not just the testimony of personal godliness, but testimony of love for the church. Paul says, and fill up which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Man, I love the church. There's a song, Majesty Music, put out. I believe the title of it is, I Love the Church. Wow, what a blessing. Praise God for the testimony of Paul's love for the church. He was willing to suffer for the church. Man, I'm thankful when, even when we have this work be on Saturday, I'm thankful for those who said, hey, I had someone come to me, I can't make it Saturday, but I want you to know this is what I'm planning on doing this week. It might not work out for you on Saturday. Maybe you can come another time. Maybe there's something, hey, I've noticed, this person said, hey, I don't know if this is on the list, but I've noticed this and I want to take care of this. What a blessing. Praise God for love for his building, but for his church family, that others could come and not notice that that person did it, but not be distracted by that which needed to be done. Praise God for a testimony of love for the church. Colossians 2, verse 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. We are knit together in the love of Christ. There is something about God's love. And again, I know I've told you guys this, but I mean it from my heart. As much as I loved Faith Baptist Church in Muskegon, and I still love people there, I spent 21 years of my life at that church. From a young teenager through, I don't know, what was I, over 30 when I left. And then we traveled and we went back. As much as I love people there, there is something about Jeruel Baptist Church. I'm thankful for you. I love you. There's something we're knit together with. It's the love of Christ. Let's praise God for fellow believers. So many things that you and I can praise God for. Sometimes we get down in the dumps. What is there to praise God for? I have been reconciled. I'm no longer an alien. I have new life. Because of his death, I have new life. I have stability in life that I didn't have as an unsaved individual. And I have fellow believers who I can enjoy and be knit together with. Let's praise God this week as we go through life. Father, we thank you for your love. God, I pray that you would help us to praise you this week, tonight. There's so many things that we can do to praise you. You truly are a great God. Thank you for all you've done. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. We aren't going to sing a closing song, Joanne. I know we had it in the schedule. But tonight, as we leave, I want you to praise God for each other. Thank God for the church that he's given us. And let's enjoy that fellowship that we have with each other. You are dismissed.